You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Josh. What are you listening to?
The Invitation.
Oh, I didn't get one.
No, it's a song.
Oh, well, what's that from?
Hey everybody, welcome back.
Woohoo! Welcome back to another episode of What's That From, a podcast where we explore musicals we don't know, but probably should. I'm Kate.
And I'm Josh. And this week we're exploring the musical Honeymoon in Vegas.
Ooh, Honeymoon in Vegas.
I have neither been on a honeymoon nor been to Vegas.
Yeah, actually, now that you say that, same. What an upsetting set of facts that we...
I also should note this musical should really be called Honeymoon in Vegas and Act Two in Hawaii.
Literally, they spend so much time in Hawaii. It's like Honeymoon in Vegas with the sidetrack in Hawaii.
Yeah. My dad used to go to Hawaii, not Hawaii, hello, went to Vegas a lot growing up, like every year for a car convention.
Oh.
And he would always show us pictures, so I've never been, but always wanted to go.
But you feel like you've been?
Maybe. Maybe in a past life, but I'd like to go. I think after quarantine and COVID is over,
yeah.
I think that would be a really fun trip to go to like celebrate. Because I feel like everybody's going to do something to celebrate being able to move and go places.
And I feel like that would be amazing.
To celebrate my past two birthdays and everybody else's birthday and every holiday. And
just something like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, birthdays.
Maybe my honeymoon, who knows?
And with that, Josh, that brings us to our next point. My friend, it is your turn this week.
Oh, I didn't even think about it.
the 30-second plot challenge.
Okay.
Okay, you think you got it?
I think so.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay, so there is a man who is in love with this girl, but he has this like weird thing in his brain because his mom told him that he couldn't marry anybody except because she wanted him to love her for forever. And so then he's like, let's go to Vegas and get married, like out of the blue. But then he like can't really do that. He's like so nervous. And then he like gets in a gambling thing with this like guy, this like sketchy guy. And the guy like holds him over because he thinks his fiance looks like his past wife. And so then he takes her, he like wins him over all this money and takes her away to Hawaii to spend time with her because she reminds him of his past wife. And
time.
Then, I got close.
You did get close.
I got to the beginning of Act 2.
You did.
Yeah.
And it like kind of, it gets, I feel like this was very easy to understand.
Yes.
When you are learning about it, but speaking it, there is a lot that happens.
Yeah. It's a very traditional type musical comedy in a contemporary setting. And I've actually been talking about this with other people about how I just personally feel like where Broadway is heading is in such a commercial, contemporary, like, formula that they're just trying to, like, pump out. And even this is based on a movie, which most Broadway musicals now are that feel pretty cheap or thin.
Mm-hmm.
But this one feels so genuine musical theater.
Yes, agreed.
In such a cool way. And so, like, parts of it feel very, like, hokey pokey and, like... And schmoozy and brassy and, like, easy to comprehend like you were talking about. But there is, like, plot-wise, like, a lot.
Yeah, yes. Like, a lot going There's on. A
Way
lot
more
going
than,
on.
Like, a Golden Age musical. That would be, like, boy meets girl, girl likes boy. There's another couple. So it's not really like that. It's, like, the structure of, like, the two, or like, I don't know, usually there's like two boys and two girls that are like the big leads, right, and like the smaller leads, but like this is a little more intertwined. It's like a triangle, yes, and like, yeah.
Agreed. And there's like a lot more conflict. Like the whole thing is conflict, yeah. I would say.
Yeah. Quirky conflict.
Quirky conflict. Yeah. A new genre of musical. Quirky conflict. But so, basically kind of just like go back, fill in some gaps. Did a great job though, Josh, especially with not thinking about it.
I really, really forgot that that was what we do on the show, even though we do it every week.
Every week. For the past like 23 weeks, it's like, well, sips coffee. So, basically the story is, it starts off following Jack Singer and his girlfriend, who he's been dating for 5 years, Betsy, which the, of course, hopefully you've heard the song I Love Betsy. If you haven't, run and listen to it. One of my favorite musical theater songs of all time.
And like, I was lucky enough to like get to dance to it at some point. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love when there are like songs in a musical that somebody just sings that isn't a dance number, but the music is so inspiring that it makes me want to move.
Expressive. You know what I
mean? Like, yeah, like.
And of course, like, do no less to the work of Sir Jason Robert Brown.
The composer.
The and composer lyricist, and lyricist. Obviously, he's proven his work multiple times before. Incredible. So we're not surprised, but we are supportive.
And it's so cool that he can do things that are so artistic and, like, heavy and, like, dramatic so beautifully. And also do something like this that's so... Like I said, brassy. And
like, may we just take one moment to point out, 13 the Musical was written by this exact same man.
You're right.
So like, if we need to talk about range, let's talk about
Seriously, though.
We did 13, if you remember, go back, listen to that episode, Chaos, of 13 the Musical. And now we're talking about Honeymoon in Vegas, years later, also same man. Legend.
Pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So... Starts off, he sings this really sweet song,
Incredible
I Love Betsy.
Opening.
Incredible opening. Also, vocals, insane.
And, like, the backup harmonies, too, in all of the songs. Like, all, oh, I love it. It's very, like, 60s Gives Me Promises, Promises vibes.
Yes!
Like, you know, like, yeah.
So good. So then, he starts off with this thing, like, very, oh my gosh, I'm in love with this girl. Okay. He goes to buy her an engagement ring. He has a panic attack remembering that when his mom's dying wish from 10 years ago was that he cannot marry someone ever because no woman will ever love him as much as she loved him.
So cruel. So, why would you like put that in this, like your child's head?
Also, like, motherly love is different than marriage love.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You're not marrying someone so you can be their mom. Right. Like, that's so weird. Anyway, so he's dealing with this personal conflict where she sings this Never Get Married. It's like a little bit of a flashback moment. Yeah. And so then Betsy, of course, is so annoyed. I would also be so annoyed. So team Betsy. And she's like
I can't wait forever.
Yeah. I literally can't wait forever.
You gotta get over this problem.
You gotta get over this dead mom trauma. Yeah, that's like... Literally. So...
And she's like, let's go somewhere. Like, we need to get out of this. Let's go. Like,
so she sings the song Anywhere But Here, which is a great song
beautiful.
For women,
yeah.
Girls.
I love it.
Anyone can great. Sing it. Very good.
And then he proposes to her and he's like, okay, well then let's go. Let's go to Vegas and let's get married. And she's like, thank you. Let's go. That's what I'm asking for. So then they get to Vegas and there's this fun, like, Hey, we're in
when
Vegas.
You say Vegas.
Yeah. I loved it. This was the first number that, and the first two songs are very musical theater-y also. Like, it's a very, like, I want, Anywhere But Here's very I want musical theater-y song. I Love Betsy's a very schmoozy opening. But, like, the Vegas number made me really realize, oh, like, three songs now, I'm like, this is like a musical. Like, it's like, oh, we're in Vegas now.
Yes. You know? And I do think that because the show is in Vegas, it lends itself innately to drama.
Yeah.
Costumes,
lights
and the, you know, a big gambling guy singing a like jazzy
guys
song.
Novels, yeah.
Yeah,
all the music's very jazzy.
Yeah.
And so then while they're in Vegas, Betsy like catches the attention of Tommy Corman, who's a wealthy gambler, and she happens to bear resemblance to his late wife, Donna, who died of skin cancer. And he sings this, like, it's so funny. He sings this song about, it's called Out of the Sun. But it's so, it's, like, not what you think it's about. You know, like, it's this, like, love, like, reminiscent.
Yes.
Croony song. And it's like, oh, if only she was just out of the sun and wore some sunscreen.
Because she died like, of skin cancer. Yeah, so then... So then this is kind of when the chaos starts to ensue.
Yeah, he's kind of, like, not all there in the mind. Like, he's, like... He tries to manipulate them by stealing her away from him. Like,
yes.
He's like, oh, I have a great idea. I'm just going to steal this girl from this guy. Just like, because she looks like my ex-wife. Like, oh, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Let's create this whole manipulative plan. It's going to cost a lot of money.
You know what, Tommy? Great idea.
Like, you know, who's on his team?
Yeah, like, what? And just because she looks like they don't have the same personality. They're not the same. Right. Like, what?
But you know what's cool is that, like, I don't hate this character.
I don't
He's a really weird guy. Really shady. But he's written in a way that you're like, I don't, like, you're not, like, the villain. You're
right.
Not, like,
and
evil.
He, I feel like it's worth it to point out, he also is a very successful gambler in Vegas. Like, he lives in Vegas, is Vegas. Like, when he plays, he wins. And he, so that's his job anyway, is gambling, winning. So I feel like in a way, this situation for him is just like, oh, I'm just winning this.
Yeah, it's just normal.
Yeah. So basically, of course, he knows he can win if he gambles against Jack. And so he, like, decides, so once he decides that he's, like, gonna go forward with this plan, he's like, you know what, Jack, like, I'm gonna invite you to play poker. And so Betsy goes shops for a wedding dress, they go play poker.
And I like that song, The Invitation,
yes.
It Forever Starts Tonight. That feels like, that was the, like, the first time it was, like, sort of looking for. It was, like, planting the seed for, like,
yes,
the mayhem that's about to happen.
Yes.
Like, it was, like, crunchy, like, musically, that I was like, ooh, something bad's about to happen.
Something's gonna happen.
Yeah,
and so then there's this, once that happens, it's kind of, like, Betsy, then there's another kind of split
right.
action. Betsy's getting married, but also the game. And so this is this big poker game, and of course Tommy wins betting $58,000. And so Jack loses, and so he's like, oh my god, I do not have $58,000 to give you. And he's like, you know what? All right, if you don't have the money, how about you just let me steal your fiance for a weekend?
And if not, I'll beat you up.
He's like, you want to know what? Okay, $58,000. If you don't have it, that's totally fine. I'm just going to take a human for a weekend.
And then he's like, oh, I guess so.
And he's
I guess you're right.
Yeah, it is funny. Like, I do feel like, yeah, Jack is like, yeah, that's the only way.
Sounds right to me.
That's the only way. So then he goes.
He's like, Betsy has to spend the rest of the weekend with me.
Right. So then they come to an agreement and... So, like, he goes back to Betsy, and he's like, Betsy, I just lost this bet. You have to go spend time with this man. And she's mad. She's
right.
like, we're here to get married. You lost a bet the first day that we're here, and now you basically sold me.
Right. But she loves him so much. She's like,
yes.
Okay, if this is going to get us
right.
to the next step of getting married, we've been through so much already, like... I guess. Sure.
Yeah, it's just funny because he has to go tell her, and I feel like he's like, listen, okay, $58,000 on the line, and now I have to give you to this man. So then, so Tommy, like, takes Betsy, and he decides, like...
Well, he's telling her about, like, how she reminds him of his wife, Donna.
Right. Which is even creepier.
And talking about their son that they had together, who now has a wife and a baby, and then,
Which, like, how old is this man?
And then, I know. And then he tells Jack that, oh, we're actually going to go spend the weekend together in Hawaii. Bye. And Jack is like, And then Betsy's like, And then she's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go with him.
Because she's
just
mad.
Just to spite you.
She's mad.
Yeah, you did this to me, so I'm going to embrace it.
And I'm going to go live it up in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And so then Jack is so cute and awkward, and he's like,
I guess
so
I should do something.
He's like, I guess I should go help. So then he gets out of the plane, goes to Hawaii, boom.
In act one. Great act one.
Great act one.
Yeah, really good act one.
Yeah.
I feel like I know all the characters, and it set up everything very well.
Yes.
And then, like, it started going downhill at the right
time.
And
then they said,
like, argh! Yeah, like, I felt like act one was so solid.
Yes, and then it makes you just eager to come back and see what's going to happen in act two. Let me tell you, more chaos ensues in act two, so buckle up.
So then they arrive in Hawaii, and Jack is approached by these people who are like, oh, it's great here. Like, we're going to distract you because they're employed by Tommy. Tommy has made this whole elaborate plan.
Right.
Hired, like, actors.
Which also, like, whoa, he acted fast.
Just to spend time with this random girl he met that happens to look like
his. How much money does he have? He has to have so much money.
He must have really loved Donna.
Yeah.
really,
the real winner in all this is Donna.
Yeah, that would be her character.
But so they get there, they're all employed to seduce Jack, distract him. Also, like, there is a point of, like, seduction where this woman's, like, trying to get Jack to, like,
unfaithful.
Yeah, like, yeah, be unfaithful to, like, cheat on Betsy, and he doesn't. He's like,
He loves Betsy.
He does. And so all of these are kind of failing. But meanwhile, Betsy and Tommy are just living it up in Hawaii with the hired actors.
Right. She doesn't know that they're hired actors. She thinks this is his family.
And this is just like the most...
his son and his wife. And yeah.
Wonderful event.
And then, like, they kind of have a tender moment because they're singing, like, an old standard, just like a jazz croony song.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little moment where they're like, oh... like a weird connection moment. And then she's like, no, like, this is not who
which I was also with. Like, so that was such a weird plot point because I was like, wait a minute. Really?
Yeah.
The song called You Made the Wait Worthwhile is going to be between Tommy and Betsy? Ugh. Weird.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So then, after that moment, even though they don't have an intimate moment, like they don't get physical or anything, Tommy is like, oh, I feel like I'm gonna get lucky. And he sings a little luck. Which I feel like you can't do a musical about gamblers and not have a song with the word luck in it.
I so agree.
It's like, missed opportunity, and also, like, why not?
Missed opportunity, loses credibility, are there gamblers, are they good?
Right. Musical theater trope, gamblers, musicals.
Luck.
A song with the word luck in it.
It has to be.
Has to. Just makes sense.
Yeah. So, if you're in the process of writing a musical that involves gamblers, don't even try not to do that. Like, just openly do it and accept that it's happening.
Literally.
So then, like, Jack ends up, like, kind of telling the people that are meant to distract him about what's going on, about how his mom has cursed him, and he's in this situation. And so, of course, all these people are like, wait, that sucks. Like, they're kind of buying into it. So they're like, you know what? We're going to help you.
We have a place for you.
We're going to break this curse. So these people decide that they're going to help him. They're going to take him to a sacred grove, and they're going to break the curse.
And it's called the Garden of Disappointed Mothers. So if you ever have a problem with your disappointed mother, just go to Hawaii.
Yeah, go to Hawaii. And just unleash all your feelings onto the people there, and they will lead you to the Garden of Disappointed Mothers. So then Jack confronts his mother. And so, like...
And she's like, okay. I guess you can be happy.
She's like, all right, thanks for calling. Glad you...
With a Ouija board.
Yeah,
And then she's like, but only if you prove yourself to be a man. Which I'm like, okay. Aren't we past that?
Aren't we past
what
that?
What does it mean to be a man?
So true.
But
and also, like, girl, it's been 10 years. Why wasn't that in the stipulation?
She's the real villain in the show, honestly.
Yeah, agreed.
It's the mom.
She's causing so many issues.
She's the real villain.
She is literally the antagonist to the max. Not only did she, like, cause all these problems, and then he goes to try to work it out and explain, and she's like, maybe, but here's a really nondescript thing you have to do that actually, what does it even mean?
And sexist.
But do it. And it's like, you couldn't have just been like, okay, if you don't get two, like, flowers by
right,
the sunset.
Right, why couldn't it be, like, into the woods? Why can't you just, like, grab a few things and, like, find a witch?
Instead, she just says, be a man. And he's like, are you joking? What does that even mean? So, yeah, that's kind of a bit of a sticky plot point.
Yeah.
But she does agree, eventually.
And then Tommy, meanwhile, is getting Betsy drunk so that he can make a move on her, you know? That's
ew.
Kind of like...
Whoa. Yeah, this is a very sticky part of the show.
Right. And then he tells her that Jack actually only owes him $800, that he lied and was trying to, like, one-up him. And,
but it's not true, right?
I don't know.
I don't think that's true. Or maybe it is true, but... I don't know.
Anyway. I don't know either.
Because I kind of thought, like, because then later on someone is like, no, he owed $50,000. And then she's like, oh, Jack was right all along.
Right. I don't know.
And also she's drunk.
I don't know why he would lie and tell her it was actually less of a big deal. I don't know. I guess he's maybe trying
to... No, I
to
think because it would make
her more angry.
Yeah, it would make him look bad at being like, you couldn't have just, like, spent $800 right. to spend the weekend with me.
Gotcha.
But $58,000. Now that... Right. That's a sticky situation. Yeah, yeah, but $800, it's like, really? Right.
And then she's mad, and she's drunk, and she kisses him. And then it's like, let's get married.
To in him. Vegas.
So Betsy also isn't, like, pure. I mean, she yeah. also is like, I'm also like, really? Are you just going to leave him
this, married? This end, I will agree. Okay, first act, love,
solid.
Love.
Yeah.
Love,
yeah.
love. Second act?
I didn't expect this from you.
It gets a little, yeah. it gets a little cray-cray.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? It's been like 2 days, girl. Why? Like, I understand being mad, but now you're just being like crazy.
Right.
And then, like, in the
but
end.
Do you really just want to get married?
And then that's
is that
the
really
thing.
Like your character
well,
drive? Is that,
even,
it doesn't matter who, like, you just want to get married? I know in the end she learns not, but.
Yeah. And I guess kind of what a little bit justifies this current situation is that she is drunk. He's, like, purposefully gotten her drunk to do this.
Which is like, ee.
Which is ee.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, mostly, like, justifies it for her. Like, as in, like,
right.
she's not fully
right.
of sound mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I guess maybe that's why.
Like, what are they drinking?
Yeah, like, what are they drinking?
Only fireballs.
They're, like, 12 shots deep. Like, she's, like, cannot form a sentence. So,
So then they're like, okay, like, we're going to
back
to
Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah. Honeymoon in Vegas, trip to Hawaii,
back
to Vegas.
To Vegas.
And so then Jack finds out that Tommy and Betsy are going back to Vegas. And he's like, I just got here and I haven't even found them. So he's like, okay. He's probably spending $5,800 on the trips he's taking.
Literally.
And so then he goes to the airport and they're like, you're not going to get there in time.
I love they sing this airport
it's
song.
Cute.
It's
yeah,
hilarious.
It's so
where they're basically like, okay, well, we can only get you to Las Vegas if you fly to Georgia, but then you also fly to Colorado. And then there is going to be a layover that will take you to New York, but then it will get you to Vegas.
Right.
Like, it will get him there in like 3 days and it will cost like $8,000.
Right.
So basically the airport is like, no, there's no direct flights to Vegas.
Right.
So he is stuck.
And then he finds a troop of Elvis impersonators that are like, we're going to Vegas to, like, live out our dreams. And he's like, okay, like, this is my end. So then when he gets over Vegas, they're like, here we go. Skydive. Let's jump. And he's like, why didn't anybody tell me this before I got on the plane?
What?
And so they sing Higher Love. And it's really funny. It's like a 50s Elvis
so
song.
Good.
And it's all these Elvis impersonators.
It's absolutely
such a genius
hilarious.
Moment. I love when there's just like a clever musical theater song moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then he jumps out of the plane, thus proving his love, which I'm going to be honest.
Making himself a man.
I'm going to be so honest. I think him going to Hawaii in the first place was proving his love. I think him trying to break this curse was proving his love. I think him trying to get back to Vegas was proving his love. I don't think he needed to jump out of this plane.
And
but
also, like, I know a lot of women who skydive.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make them a man.
No. Also, like, I feel like the whole, like, I don't know why this is like, Betsy was like, oh, he jumped off a plane. Finally. But so then he jumps out, and then like Betsy's sobered up from her Hawaii extravaganza.
Fever dream.
Her fever dream. And so then she sings, I've been thinking, and she finally is like, you know what, Tommy? Jack is the one I'm going to marry. And so then Jack, like, in the midst of parachuting down, like, parachutes into Betsy's arms.
And then they get married.
Immediately.
And everybody's like,
honeymoon in Vegas!
And then, yeah, like, the honeymoon in Vegas happens after the show's over.
Yeah.
We don't actually get to see your honeymoon in Vegas.
We don't.
But plot hole.
Incorrect name alert. Yeah, but so overall, a kooky
so
show.
Quirky. I really liked it. It might be my favorite score that we've done so far.
So beautiful. So fun. So it's such a big band.
So
energy.
Jazzy. Yeah.
So jazzy.
Brassy.
And the show did okay. It did okay. It didn't do well.
It didn't run for very long.
I think it had a bit of an interesting path. I think they were kind of like, they were going to do an out of town, and then the out of town didn't happen, and then they're going to, like, because they were going to do it in Toronto, and then Toronto didn't happen, and then they were like, we just want to get to Broadway, so we're going to do it at Paper Mill, and they went to Paper Mill, and then it went right to Broadway in 2015, and I just think it was kind of a confusing path for it to take.
Yeah.
I mean, it made it there, and I remember, I will say, I think the reason that I had never listened to the show is because I was so sad when Newsies closed, and this was the show that went into the theater.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. I, like, held a grudge against it.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was in the same theater.
Yeah.
The Nederlander?
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe it was, the Nederlander. Hmm. Yeah. And wow. I, like, because I remember being like, how dare a show go in to the theater where
the sacred ground.
But now I'm glad that I've turned the corner and we're here, because it really is a fantastic find.
Directed by Gary Griffin and choreographed by Dennis Jones, who's one of my favorite contemporary Broadway choreographers. I really wish I could have seen it.
I wish I could have too. I think, you know, as we were saying too, and going through the plot, in its critical response too, I think people said, you know, it was witty, super upbeat, very fun, big, bright, like all of the above. But a lot of people did point out that the second act was not.
Right.
It just was missing something.
It got a great review from the New York Times from Ben Brantley.
Yeah.
Saying that it was bright and bouncy, real life, old fashioned, deeply satisfying Broadway musical in a way that few new shows are anymore. And which was, I was like, whoa, when I read this, I had listened to it first and then read like the review about it. And I was thinking the whole time it's not that I'm not a fan of Jason Robert Brown. It's just like not one of my musical theater composers that really speaks to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been a fan of the work. Mm-hmm. But listening to the show, I had this moment where I was like, Jason Robert Brown really writes so well, especially in this show, of like, I was thinking from the perspective of, if I was playing this part, I know exactly what I'm feeling based off of the music and the lyrics.
Yes.
And what's going on. Like, it didn't leave that much up for me to fill the gaps. Like, it was all provided to me. Not in an annoying way. Like, in like a, wow, like, as an actor, I'm thankful for the way that you wrote this.
You literally just have to speak the words and you will be in the situation.
And Ben Brantley said in this review, his songs seamlessly propel plot and define character in the way Numbers did in the heyday of Rodgers and Hammerstein. Yeah. And once I read that, I was like, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
Like, I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No, that's factual.
Yeah. But it didn't get nominated for anything.
For any Tonys.
Drama Desk, but not for Tonys.
Yeah.
And it didn't win anything.
And we do hold a little bit of a... Wasn't it the Drama Desk that really snubbed Sideshow?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm holding a little bit of a grudge on them little bit. Just for a little bit.
Yeah. For the next, like, three shows.
Yeah. For the next cursed 10 years. no, but I just I'm a little salty about that event.
Yeah.
But, so the show itself, unfortunately, didn't have that long of a life, which I just think is really sad.
Right, it opened on November 18th, 2014 in previews, and then it was in previews for a while because it officially opened January 15th.
Yeah.
And then it closed on April 5th, 2015.
Yeah.
So, pretty short run. but featured two Syracuse alumni, John Lane Saxer and Brendan Stimson. That's pretty cool.
Brendan Stimson of The Prom.
Oh, yeah. Our special guest.
Our special guest.
Lead Orange.
Yeah, and the cast was stacked.
Yeah. Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Yeah. As Tommy. He was the gambler.
Yes.
And then Rob McClure. He's a Broadway fave.
I know. There were just, like, a lot of people that I was, like, Broadway. Yeah. Broadway. Broadway. Like, even Bryn O'Malley. I was looking up her stuff, too, and she's been in a lot of things as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. So these people were like, and rightfully so. I mean, the music and I'm glad that they had such Broadway people in it because, I don't know, I just think it tells the story well. Correct. Like, it is so musically that if you didn't have someone that was like, Broadway, I'd be like, why?
Right. I really want to see more regional productions of this, or like school productions of this.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of fun characters, musical numbers. Yeah.
And like, I think there's a lot of people in it because it's like, they have the Vegas showgirls, right. And then they have that whole Elvis thing where everyone's Elvis. I wonder if it's just maybe really expensive.
Maybe.
Because of all the places that they go.
Right.
But in the way, I mean, like, wait a minute. Wait. Guys and Dolls has almost, like, I feel like the same setup as in, like, they're in a place, they go to Havana, they're in that place, and then they go back to a place. So if you can afford to do Guys and Dolls, you can afford to do Honeymoon in Vegas.
That's, like, a bunch of different
sets. Yeah. But that's just, I was just thinking about that because that's a show about gamblers.
Right.
Maybe that's the formula.
Maybe you should just do Guys and Dolls, keep the set, rework it, Honeymoon in Vegas the next season.
Yeah. Oh my, incredible idea. Duh.
Hello.
That's luck.
What was your favorite song?
I Love Betsy.
Yeah.
I love that song so much. I also really did like Anywhere But Here. Mm-hmm. And Betsy's Getting Married.
That's a cute one.
Yeah.
I really liked I Love Betsy, of course, and also Do Something.
Yes.
I really liked Do Something.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so cute.
There's a lot of really cute songs.
There's a lot of like salsa cha-cha-y songs.
Yes.
Like, you know.
It makes me want to move around.
I always love those. So.
Yeah. And I also, I really liked, I do like overtures.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like they are, in recent days, often taken out of things. But this overture was so big and brassy.
And the entr'acte,
yes. Like, I love both of those, too.
Me, too.
They're very satisfying musically. Ooh.
Got a little siren action.
Got a little siren. The sounds of New York City. So what would you rate the show?
I would give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Or an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Or maybe an 8.75.
Whoa. All right.
Just because Act 2 did kind of throw me for a little bit of
I agree. I think, like, I'd give Act 1 a 9.5 out of 10.
Yes.
I'd give Act 2 an 8 out of 10. So maybe you, average them. Yeah.
8.75.
Yeah. Yes. Incredible.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I would really love to see this one.
Me
this
too.
This is the one that I feel like the most that I finished it and was like,
yeah,
I really want to see this.
Maybe we should also watch the movie. Because maybe...
We forgot to say, like, this is based off of a movie from 1992 with Sarah Jessica Parker and Nicolas Cage. Like,
and Andrew Bergman, who wrote the movie, also adapted it for the stage.
Oh, cheers.
So what I'm wondering is, like, yes, Act 2 has plot gaps, but does the movie have plot gaps?
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe it stems just from the source material.
Yeah.
Itself.
Like, maybe it just didn't translate well, or maybe in a movie it's easier to show passage of time or, like, random little things, where in a musical that's this big, maybe it's hard.
You know, I was just thinking about how they did the skydiving scene.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the video of this, like, the fail at one of the shows where Nancy Opel, who plays the mom, it comes down in the finale and, like, flipped upside down?
Stop.
There's a fail. I can show you, too. And also, if you don't know it, you have to look up this video.
Oh,
There's a fail video from the Broadway production where she flies down and flips upside down while she's singing. And the whole, everybody on stage is like, and the half of them are, like, trying to keep going. And the rest of them are, like,
she's
upside
singing?
Down swinging.
Yeah. And they're like,
actors on stage, like, please. Also, I have to know, I've seen two Broadway shows where the stage manager had to call stop on stage.
Stop.
Two Broadway shows.
That means we're doing something too dangerous. I think we need to, like, take things down a notch.
It was Waitress in War Paint. When I saw War Paint, somebody didn't come on stage. And Christine Ebersole was having this dramatic, like, crying scene. Sorry, this is a big tangent, but she was, like, crying. And then she was crying for a long time. And I was like, wow, like, I really feel this moment. Like, it's really deep. And then eventually, the stage manager was like, actors on stage, like, please exit the stage. And she just, like, walked off. I was like,
yes, whoa. When they call hold too, it's so weird because like the actors literally turn like robots. Like right. They stand up and they just walk off.
And walked off. And then it was like a little bit of time. They were like, actors on stage, go. And she came back out and the scene came out. And then at the stage door, Patty, literally while she was signing my playbook, was like, oh, if everybody wants to know, so-and-so was in their dressing room in their underwear. That's why the show had to stop. Like she just spilled the tea. She was like, yeah, they were just in their dressing room, like not paying attention. But as she was signing my playbill, I was like, she just spilled the tea. And then when I saw the waitress, they had a sound malfunction. Like the tables like were like rigged and they didn't come on the track.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Fitzgerald really saved it because it finally came on because that was his entrance. And he was like, were you guys closed earlier? I couldn't get in. I was like, that is a genius line.
That's improv.
Yeah. So... Broadway flops. I mean, not flops, but mishaps happen everywhere.
Happen everywhere. Even on Broadway. So look especially up on Broadway, yeah. It seems.
Twice. I was like, wow, I've seen two Broadway shows that stopped.
Jeez. Yeah. That's kind of actually pretty weird, I think.
Yeah, really weird.
Wow. Wish you could have seen this one.
Yeah, look it up.
Well, that's all we have for this week, folks. So be sure to check us out on Instagram at WTF_BWAY. That's at WTF_BWAY.
And you know what? The same at applies on TikTok.
We're on TikTok.
Like the kids.
Like the kids. We're putting on I'm trying to think of a kid's shoe. I couldn't think of a kid's shoe.
Kid's show?
We're putting on our Skechers and we're going to TikTok.
So maybe we'll come up with TikTok dances for a song from every musical. Then you can learn them and like tag us.
Duet us as they do on the TikTok.
Oh, okay. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.